Kathy Giuffre, thank you for joining us to talk about your new novel, The Drunken Spelunker's Guide to Plato, which is being published tomorrow officially.
Right. September 8th is its birthday.
That's exciting.
It is exciting.
It's just a few days. It's a Virgo. This book is a Virgo.
So is my son, so that works really well together.
And although, so am I. That's great. To start off, talk about how this novel came about. Have you always... This is your first novel, right?
This is my first novel. It's my fourth book, but my first novel.
So what made you want to write a novel? Have you always wanted to write a novel? And how did this particular book come together?
Well, so, you know, I grew up reading. I grew up in the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas, where there is not a whole lot to do. And books were really my lifesaver there. Books were my lifeline when I was growing up. So I've always been a huge reader. I've always loved reading. I love the feel of a book in my hands. Because I'm a college professor, writing is one of the things I do a lot. So I write articles. I've written books before, but they're scholarly books sometimes about technical subjects. So one of them is about social network analysis. But actually, I was on sabbatical, and I woke up from a dream one morning with the first line of this book in my head. So I wrote that line down, and then I spent a week actually writing down the first chapter of the book. It seemed to come all by itself. And then I spent 6 years writing the rest of the book very slowly in between all the other things that I had to do.
So the first line is, this was in the days when nighttime used to mean something.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Did everything emerge from that sentence? Or, you know, I have to ask you, the gratuitous, is this autobiographical? Does it refer to a period of time in your life? And it's sort of a coming of age story.
It is.
It's a love story.
Yes.
There's a murder in it too, but it doesn't come till a long ways into the book.
Right. Actually, it emerged from, I have to say, everything that I write actually has the same audience, oddly enough, which is my children, because I think that I have a need to document things that I think are going to escape. And this is about a time, there are autobiographical elements in this, very much so. It's set in a bar called The Cave. I used to be a bartender in a bar called The Cave. And this is set there. Some of the characters are based on people I knew then. But it was very much trying to capture a time that I think actually is long gone in the United States, the time when nighttime used to mean something, when we didn't have 24-hour-a-day television, when television went off the air at night.
Right, which you talk about at the beginning.
Right. When stores closed, when finding an open gas station was actually an issue. And I don't think my children know about that world. This world has beautiful things in it. That world had beautiful things in it, too. There were lovely parts of that.
There was a sense that I think that night was much more of an unknown. When it was, there was something kind of frightening about night in an exciting way. And that seems to have been lost in some part with our constant connection to everything. There's much less of a sense that you could actually get lost to the night.
Yeah, and I think that getting lost is a huge part of this. It's scary, but it's also very freeing to think that you may get lost to the night somewhere. That it would be that you would be out of contact with people is something that actually is rather rare today. So when I talk to the students in my class, in my art and society class, the first day I ask them, is there any cultural form you wish didn't exist? And overwhelmingly, they say social media because they feel so enslaved to it. But at the same time, I say, well, why don't you turn it off? And they say they can't.
So
they
social can't. Media is the new cave.
Isn't that we are all trapped down there. But, you know, there are good parts of that, too. At least we have each other down there in that
That's
cave.
Right. I texted you on social media today.
I am here because of Facebook right this minute.
Well, let's talk about The Cave, Plato's mm-hmm. allegory of the cave, which mm-hmm. figures heavily, although lots of other Greek mythology figures mm-hmm. heavily in here, too. Well, and Plato's interpretation mm-hmm. of that. How did that trope come to you? It's a charming way of incorporating it, in a lot of ways, because you disagree with it throughout the book.
Right. Well, actually, through the entire first version of this book, I didn't realize that that's what this was. I was trying to figure out, one of the things that was very hard for me to write about was to write about happiness, about how it is when you're happy, when it seems like it's just summer forever and not much is going on. And I think it was easier for me to write about things that were tragic events, whereas happiness tends to be rather uneventful. And so that makes it difficult to write about. So I was trying to think about, how do I express happiness? And I actually, when I get stuck, I find that if I take a bath, the idea comes to me. And so sometimes I take like 3 or 4 baths a day, depending on how troublesome something is that I'm working on. But I was in the bathtub, actually, and it came to me, the Greek myth about Persephone and Demeter, and how that the point of that is that summertime, Demeter causes summertime to happen because she is happy. When her daughter returns to her, she's happy and causes summertime. So that was the first one of these things. And so I started putting in a little Greek mythology every now and then, mostly to help me tell stories, because I think that's one of the things mythology does. It helps us tell stories.
Right. It is interesting, too, that we think now that we're happy because it's summer, because it's warm out, but the cause and effect were reversed entirely, which is such a subtle little turn.
Such a subtle thing. So it wasn't actually until the very end of the book, the last thing I wrote was the retelling of Plato's Allegory of the Cave. I felt like such a moron, because at that point I suddenly realized, oh, guess what? This whole book is about Plato. It's set in a place called the Cave that actually did not occur to me until I had written the entire book.
Well, see, and that is to me almost the exact same thing as you saying this, thing about Demeter causing summer because of her happiness, because to me it has the tropeness to it, as though it's sort of scaffolding for the book, that you hung it on this very clever literary thing. And that's fascinating to me that it came afterward, because I would have thought, especially since the bar is called the Cave,
you would have thought I would have recognized that. Yes.
It's great. The subconscious does wonders.
The subconscious does wonders. Yeah. And so that was, when I was growing up, I read tons of Greek mythology. I was really interested in it. So it was there for me. It was there in my head, but I completely did not recognize it the first time through. So this book was written and rewritten several times. And it was only as it went along that structure actually was put into the book.